From WXXI News, this is the Summer of Food on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made this spring when a brother-sister duo realized a longtime goal. Neil and Denise Clifford worked at restaurants around Rochester for many years, but they wanted to venture out on their own and work for themselves. And when they learned a food truck would require less initial investment and overhead, they were sold on the idea and opened Karma's Cruisin' Cafe. Karma, named after Denise's competition name from the Rock City Roller Derby. You can hear about Denise and Neil's story in the Democrat and Chronicle, where writer Tracy Schumacher profiled Karma and several other new food trucks in town. From Karma's rubbish platters to shaved ice to pasta, it seems Rochester's food truck scene has something for everyone. And that scene is growing, both locally and nationally. A report from the Chamber of Commerce Foundation attempts to put a number on just how valuable food trucks have become. The food truck revolution is more than a decade old in this country. Taking data from more than 300 cities, the foundation finds that food trucks are worth roughly $2.7 billion per year. But the foundation is critical of local governments, which have inconsistent rules and regulations for getting a food truck on the road. The city of Boston, for example, charges more than $17,000 just to start a food truck, and then about $37,000 in annual regulations and fees. West Hollywood does not allow any food truck to stay on the same street for more than 1 hour at a time. On average, the foundation finds that it costs $28,276 to start and maintain a food truck for just 1 year. Is that fair? Is it too onerous? Well, Carolyn Cawley is the president of the Chamber of Commerce Foundation. She says, quote, food trucks are largely an immigrant story. For a lot of people, it could be a pathway to starting a business. We believe it could be a better on-ramp in many places, end quote. So this hour, we examine the state of Rochester's food truck scene in 2019. And for anyone who ever thought about launching their own, we'll discuss what's required to get in the door or on the street. Our guests this hour include Rob Loncoa. Rob is the owner of Rob's Kebabs and Rob's Al Dente. Rob, welcome. Nice having you here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Joe Cario, owner of Rock City Sandwich, president of Rochester's Best Food Trucks. Joe, welcome back. Nice having you.
Thank you.
Fidelio Rita is here, the owner of Nino's Gourmet Mexican Street Food. Fidelio, welcome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
And on the line with us is Denise Clifford, co-owner of Karma's Cruisin' Cafe. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm doing great.
Well, so this overview, I think, I'm going to start with Denise because I think Denise is the newest on the street. How long have you been on the street with Karma's Cruisin', Denise?
Oh, we're going into our fourth month. So we are the newest food truck out there.
And tell us what you offer, what you do.
Oh, we offer authentic eats, which, you know, include a rubbish platter, which utilizes fresh packed ground beef to those, or Zweigel's hot, red or white. Those are authentic to Rochester as well. We also have a fresh marinated chicken breast sandwich. We offer a salad bar. We have our own famous specialty, which are called the trash fries. Those are French fries, and they're smothered in cheddar cheese sauce, sprinkled with onions and real onion. And then we throw some of our own homemade meat hot over those. So a little bit of everything, you know, for somebody. We offer fresh daily.
So that's Karma's Cruisin' Cafe, and in a moment I'll ask Denise to kind of walk us through what it was like trying to get on the road. I think we're going to try to reestablish and make sure we've got a clean connection there with Denise on the line. But let me go ahead and just ask, I'm going to start with Joe here in studio. I'm looking around the country. Boston, according to the National Chamber of Commerce Foundation, says Boston's the worst with, you know, $17,000 just to kind of get signed up for a food truck, $27,000 and or $37,000 in annual regulations and fees, all kinds of different rules. Portland viewed as the best, the lowest number of regulations, and then a lot of different rules sort of in between. If you look at Minneapolis, they mandate trucks can't be closer than 500 feet from stadiums or festivals. West Hollywood, every truck has to move to a different street at least once an hour. I mean, what are you going to do for lunch? Yeah, I feel like you're not going to do much lunch anyway.
The once an hour thing is a little outrageous.
Yeah. But so when you look at Rochester, how would you sort of rank, if we're kind of comparing, how do you think our city is doing here?
Compared to those situations, I would say we're pretty business friendly. It takes a little bit of startup. You obviously have to have a truck. You know, getting funding for that is left up to the business owner. But when it comes to the annual operating costs, it's not just the upfront fees, you know, for permits. We have one of those for, you know, the city, but there's also one of those for each town that we operate in, one of those for each event that we operate or take part of. So whether it's a percentage is a fee or a flat fee, they add up. They add up quick.
How do you think, Rob, how do you think we rank based on what you hear from other cities?
I think we're pretty fair in Rochester. As far as, like, fees go, I think that as far as, like, regulations on how the trucks are built, I think that we're a little more strict than other places around that I've seen.
Give me an example. In terms of regulations that you think are a little on the strict side.
For example, when I first bought Rob's Kebabs, I bought it from Albany, and it just had a little fan as the vent to go out for grilling and whatever. But when I brought it to Monroe County, I needed a whole hood system, an Ansel system. It needed to be like so many wattage and everything like that. That caused upward like $10,000 just to put those in. So as far as that, like how they're built, we're definitely a little more strict than other places.
Do you think that requirement in particular, the one you just described, does that make sense to you or no?
Absolutely. I mean, safety is a big thing with food trucks. You have a big old propane tank on the back of your truck, so you don't want to, you definitely want to be careful on like how they're built and how they're regulated. So I definitely think that's fair.
Okay. Nino, how do you think we do?
By the way, I
call him Nino. It's Fidelio.
Fidelio.
Everybody calls you Nino, but.
It's Nano.
Nano.
Nano, yeah. Okay. What can I say? But I am different like the other ones because when I start in, I start with a little trailer. So when I start my business, I start with only $6,000. So then I got the food truck. So it's a little bit different for me. But I think, what can I say? Food trucks are regulations for us is good. The fees, everything, I think is work for us. We're making a lot of business.
So no real complaints, it sounds like.
No.
When you want to be somewhere, are you generally allowed to be where you want to be or need to be for business?
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
Rob, any trouble being where you want to be or need to be for business in this city?
No.
Okay.
No trouble, really.
Okay. Joe?
I think that depends on what you mean by that.
Yeah, I guess.
There's places I would like to be, but my truck, you know, wasn't chosen to be in, you know, different events to be part of. But,
okay.
You know, they pick and choose which trucks, you know, want to be part of which events, depending on what cuisine you have, what friends you might have. So
what's an example of that? Things like the jazz festival, things like other stuff.
That's a big one. You know, everybody wants to get into the jazz fest.
Okay. And can you?
And it's always limited space. You can't if you want to. You know, you can bark up the tree as many times as you want, but
who gets to decide?
I'm not going to go that far, but there are people that decide.
But what I mean by that
is, no, the city does not set.
It's not the city.
No.
That's the festival?
Yeah, festivals choose who they want for each one. I mean, we have so many festivals throughout the area, so, I mean, there's plenty of space for all the trucks to go, but there's always, like, those headline festivals that you want to be part of. Sometimes there's newer trucks that get out, you know, and they have a backing, you know, from different towns that can get into these bigger festivals. So, but for a startup, like I myself started just like, I'm going to say Nano from now on. Just like him, I started in 2012 with about $6,000 with a little trailer, you know, and then we grew into trucks as we went along. So, you know, upgrading the equipment was a little bit easier for me. But we also established relationships along the way. So we're able to get into some nice events, but there's other events we'd like to participate in too.
Okay. Well, let me turn back to Denise. And why don't you take me through your process of getting a truck on the road. How difficult was it, and how expensive, how sort of in terms of burdens of regulation or not?
Well, it wasn't that difficult. We, you know, my brother is my owner, and so the two of us are equally financially came up with the money to purchase a truck. And we found a truck here in Rochester that had all the equipment as well as the Ansel system and everything that we already needed. And so we didn't have to go ahead and modify any of that. As far as getting regulations and the codes, It was trying, but it isn't like anything else in life that you have never done before. You just, figure out what you have to do and you go do it and you pay the fees. So, it was fairly simple. I wish it was a lot more like Portland, Oregon, though. That sounds like the place to be. So, we get 4 hours on the streets. We're in the city of Rochester, which I think is fair. And I haven't had any troubles getting anywhere where I want to be. Next year, though, is when I want to actually go and do some festivals and things like that, which I haven't been a part of yet on a larger scale, being so new. I have a couple things that, I'm saving up for a new generator because mine's kind of on the loud side, and I really don't want to make my friends mad by showing up at a festival and, not being able to hear what's going on by the truck in front of me. So
when you say four hours a day, that's what the city allows. Is that right? 4 hours a day?
Yeah, that's the center city. They have certain locations where, when you pay the fee to be in the center city, and it's specific for the food trucks, and you do have a 4 hour limit, which I feel is a good amount of time to prepare for your lunch, serve the lunch, and then clean up and go. An hour would be really tricky, and I'm not sure how they do that.
And, Denise, there's this idea that brick and mortar locations are viewing food trucks as a threat. How do you view sort of the food ecosystem and how food trucks fit in, Denise?
I feel that food trucks are not a threat to a brick and mortar. We're not competing with a restaurant who is stationary and they have their locals who are loyal. A food truck can go and, figure out different demographics, do the festivals. And I think that they help to support other local businesses as well. Such as my truck, I buy my products from other local, establishments in the city. One of them actually is a bakery and restaurant. And so I think that helps to make our economy thrive, and it's not a threat at all. And in anything, you should feel that you need to compete anyways. I'm a very competitive person. I don't mind a threat. I don't mind the competition. I actually have to find my way, and it's something I'm doing. That Food Link competition, I'm actually holding number 3, and I'm in my 4th month of operation. So that to me is huge. So I don't feel we're threats to brick and mortar. I actually have a goal to become a brick and mortar in the future.
Well, that's one thing I was curious about, and Denise just touched on it. I'd like to ask all of our guests about that. This is from a piece in Fast Company Online about the state of American food trucks, where they write, quote, "Food trucks are often considered as stepping stones for would-be chefs. After they've proved their skills to the street, they can graduate to opening a more permanent location." Joe, obviously that's not true everywhere. Do you agree, though, with that general statement or no?
Sure.
Yeah?
Absolutely. I think it's a great stepping stone. There's a lot of trained chefs that don't get an opportunity in some restaurants potentially, and it's a great way to get your name out there and showcase kind of what you can do.
Rob, how do you view that? What's your ultimate goal with Rob's Kebabs and Rob's Al Dente?
My ultimate goal would be definitely a brick and mortar one day. I had a small cafe at the public market. It takes a while to get to that point. You don't want to grow too quickly, I guess. So, and food truck's the easiest way, I would say, to start a business with the least amount of capital to get your name out there and to test what you got, for sure.
When you say you don't want to grow too quickly, just kind of stay in control of your operation, of what you're doing?
Yeah.
Not feeling like you're losing control?
If you grow too quickly, you lose quality, and you'll learn real quick that it's not as easy as it looks. Like, you're going to be working tons of hours a day and just burn yourself out. So, it's good to build slowly. Like, I just got my second truck after 4 years now, and it's definitely a stepping stone to two different, totally different menus. But I'm learning quick how to handle that. I just moved into a much larger kitchen now, so I'm going to be able to prep more and just be able to do everything more smoothly.
Okay. Fidelio, what about brick and mortar for you?
Oh, I think it's great. We got the brick and mortar already. 2-3 days ago, it was the first year.
And where are you located?
649 Monroe Avenue. And we are thinking to open other place probably in the next couple months. The little food trailer, I think he's going to move to New York City next year. I'm working already in the license. I think we're doing great.
I heard from a number of people in advance of this show who said it is the best Mexican food in the region. How competitive is
I would say, like, I do my way. I like to cook, and every chef got different ways to cook. You know, like, I respect every Mexican restaurant in the city, but this is the way, like, we like to do.
What do you like to make? What's on the menu?
We do tacos, burritos, tostadas, nachos, mole enchiladas, and our best seller is the tacos. We do a lot of tacos.
Did you say mole?
Mole.
To me, if you don't have mole, can you be authentically Mexico?
Yes.
You can?
Yes.
You don't need mole?
But it's like, it's a... Yeah, we need mole, but it's like Mexico is like let's say it's a lot of tacos. So, yep.
So that's Fidelia Rita, co-owner of Nano's Gourmet Mexican Street Food. All of our guests in this studio and on the phone, by the way, came heavily recommended by many people on social media. We reached out. There's a lot of love for what our guests are doing on the food truck scene. And do we know right now, Joe, how many food trucks there are in Rochester?
Oh, boy, last night we had...
Hold on, Nano's pulling out some food here. Yeah. You can keep going, but go ahead, Joe.
We got here.
Last night we had a rodeo at the public market, and I think virtually all the trucks were local, and there was a couple trailers. We had to have upwards of 40-plus trucks and trailers local, yeah.
Okay, so 40-plus just showing up on a food truck rodeo.
Yeah, that's just at the rodeo.
Just at the rodeo, though.
Right.
That probably doesn't represent everything.
No. One of my trucks wasn't there. There's a couple other trucks, you know, that weren't there that I know are rolling on the street. So we're probably pushing 50 to 60.
And do you feel like we're still sustainable at that level, that there's still room for growth, or are we sort of maxing out?
You know, what's neat about what's happening lately is that there are a couple new trucks coming on the scene, like Karma's, but there's some other trucks, such as Rob, who's been doing this for quite a little while, and he's expanding and growing and, you know, just kind of honing in his skills and getting better at what he's doing. Same thing's going on with the other truck owners, too. There's a lot more seasons under their belt, say, and they're just getting better at what they do. So it's really interesting to see how the group has grown.
I that is really cool, because sometimes you'll see a second truck added, but sometimes you'll see, in Rob's case, there's Rob's Kebabs and now Rob's Al Dente,
mm-hmm.
which has been on the road for how long?
Like a month.
A month? So you might be the newest of the newest with your second truck. What's it all about?
It specializes in fresh-made pasta. We make it fresh on the truck. I really was thinking about a place, because pasta is my favorite thing to eat, so... I was really thinking, why has nobody made like a, I don't want to say fast food, but it's like a fast-paced pasta restaurant. Like, you could see the pasta made right in front of you. You have a window where it extrudes out and you see it made. And I pretty much just grab that, put in the water for a minute, and goes out to you. So I figured it's something new, something real different that's not around here in Rochester. So figured I'd, you know, give it a shot.
And it's probably pasta with a little tooth to it.
Yeah.
Al dente.
Al dente.
Like how it's supposed to be.
Right. To the bite, to the tooth.
And what is, what's been the reaction so far from the public on it?
I've got a good response to it. Pasta is just, there's so much you can do with it that I'm still trying to work on my menu. I want to change it like once a month or run specials every week. Mm-hmm. But I've gotten a good response by the public so far, being only out a month. So,
well, Denise, you had to kind of survey the scene with, you know, several dozen. We're looking at, what, 40 to 60 food trucks that you're going to be technically competing with, and you had to decide, is what we're doing going to fit in? Is it being done? Is it different? How do you kind of make those decisions?
Well, I made the decision because I actually do enjoy the food trucks. I've met a lot of great people. I've met those guys that are in the studio, tasted their food, which I love pulling up next to another food truck and swapping food and seeing what they have, and knowing that I haven't met anyone that does Rochester Authentic Eats yet. And so I know that Rochesterians love the plate, you know, and so anywhere we've gone, we've gotten wonderful reviews about our hot sauce and our plate, because there isn't a truck out there that's doing it the way that we're doing it. You know, it's wholesome, it's fresh. we're getting every ingredient that we make that day from somebody. So I didn't see anyone doing just what we're doing. So I thought it would be a great idea. And the loyalty from the Rochesterians for that kind of food is huge. They're very proud of their food.
Yeah, I mean, so. You know, to Joe's point about when you go to either whether it's a food truck rodeo or a festival, I am always amazed when you walk down sort of a row of trucks, the variety of options. There is, I don't think I've ever been in a festival setting or just a food truck rodeo, and I thought, well, those two are doing the same thing. I mean, it's just very, very different from truck to truck, which I think speaks well of the Rochester scene right now.
Yeah.
There's a great variety.
Yeah, I think with that comes a lot of respect, too, because no one, I don't think, wants to come out and do the same exact thing as someone else is doing, even if it's a proven, you know, entree or dessert or whatever it might be. They're coming out, showing what they can do individually. Creating something new gives everyone different options so we can all hopefully survive the long run.
I got an idea for a truck. Rock City Sandwich.
I've heard that one before.
What do you think? Tell me how you approach. You've been doing Rock City Sandwich has been there for what, 7 years now?
Yeah, 7-8 years.
So mm-hmm. You're one of the veterans on the scene. How much has what you do changed or not changed given what is happening around you and what the public wants?
Oh, it's changed drastically. When I first started with a trailer, I did the Pittsburgh-style sandwich maybe 3-4 different ways. Then I did the truck, and my first year, all I did is, again, that style. But then I learned quickly that people like choice. And if you have a family of four that comes up, they all don't want the same thing. So we expanded what I did a little bit, and now we have about 8 different choices on a regular vending menu, plus our wing nuts, which I added in 2015. That was a separate chicken truck that was a little more than I thought when, you know, Rob was talking about creating a second truck. I created a second theme, and people seem to want a little bit of both, so I just joined them together. And we do sandwiches, wraps, different types of fries, as well as the wing nuts.
Talking about the Rochester food truck scene in our Summer of Food conversation today, and we've got folks from a wide range of trucks here. Rock City Sandwich, Karma's Cruisin' Cafe, which you might have seen, brand new in Rochester, Nano's Gourmet Mexican Street Food, Rob's Kebabs, and Rob's El Dente, all repped here. And let's get some feedback from listeners. I'm going to start on the phone with Randy in Rochester. Go ahead, Randy.
Hello, Evan. Congratulations to all the people who have been starting their own businesses and being successful here in Rochester. I have been somewhat reluctant to utilize the food trucks because of the environmental impact of all the paper and plastic products. Is there any movement within the food truck industry to make it more environmentally friendly?
Randy, thank you. I appreciate that. That's a hard one, Joe. What do you think?
Actually, we've done a couple events. Genesee Brew House and Genesee Brewery, they've been kind of I don't know how to say this properly, but they've been trying to go green. And we have separate trash receptacles. I usually don't use too much plastic. I hesitate to use a lot of styrofoam. So we're more paper, wax paper. I have a couple of plastic forks we throw out the window, but other than that, you know, we try to keep it to a minimum.
Yeah, and look, Randy, I appreciate the point and the mentality. There's probably some baseline of waste that's going to be there, but none of these business owners want to waste either. It's their bottom line too. I mean, Rob, how do you view that?
Yeah, I know on my new truck, I'm trying to move towards more recycled. Like I use recycled to-go boxes now mm-hmm. on the new truck. As far as for the kebab truck, it's just hard to find the right takeout containers for, like, recyclables. So once I find that, I know me and my mom have been talking about moving and switching to a more green to-go containers. But, yeah, for the most part, we're trying. We do our best, but...
No, I hear that. And Randy, again, it's part of the process societally of bringing the cost down of products that are better for the environment and making them the kind of products that food truck owners can feel like are going to work for them. Because in a minute, we'll get into some questions on, you know, some of the numbers, because some of our listeners might be wondering, you know, what's it really take to get a truck on the road? How much do you think about that, Fidelia, about how much you're throwing away and not wanting to throw away? But how much is that a reality in just the food truck world?
For us, we do a lot because we do a lot of tacos. Pretty much every festival or yeah. food truck rodeo, we do a lot of tacos.
We're talking about like 350 orders on Futuro Rodeo festivals. We're talking about like maybe in 2 days, like 1,000 orders, 800 orders. And but we use a lot of paper plates, paper bags.
Yeah, paper when they can. Yeah. Denise, how about you? Is waste just part of the food truck world?
It is, unfortunately, and I'm one of those people that really hates to throw anything away or waste. I bounce back and forth from the biodegradable containers. They're very costly, so I'm hoping to find a company that sells them cheaper. I do have a recycling bin that I recycle on the truck for any of the plastic stuff that people want to give to me and any of the, you know, jugs or cans or things like that. I do recycle. So I do have containers that are biodegradable. Some are not, but I'm looking to utilize that in the future for all of our containers because I do, want to be environmental safety-wise and safe. So it's hard, though, to find ones that, like Rob said, that fit the food and are cost-efficient.
All right, let me get Teresa in Rochester next on the phone. Go ahead, Teresa.
Hi there. Yeah, I was just wondering, when I lived in Washington, D.C., there was either an app or a website where you could go on in real time and find out where all of the different food trucks in the city were located, which was really convenient if you wanted to find something nearby, or helpful if you were looking for a truck in particular, wanted to know where it was. Does something like that exist here?
Joe.
There is. We do have a group website. It's rochestersbestfoodtrucks.com. It does not have the map function on it at this point. There was a web page through the Democrat and Chronicle where that foodtruck.com. That one was utilized starting about 2, maybe 3 years ago, and it did have a map function. We had to tweet out certain things on there. I'm not 100% certain if it's still in operation at this point.
It is? Nano, it is?
Yep.
Where that food truck?
Wherethatfoodtruck.com.
Wherethatfoodtruck.com. Yeah, go ahead,
Denise. There's another one as well, Food Trucks In, and that actually is from the tweets, too. And I believe if you check in, that will give the map location.
Denise, say the name of it again.
Food Trucks In.
Food Trucks In.
Yes.
A lot of the times.
One is from the Twitter.
Okay.
A lot of the times, all the food trucks use Twitter, so mm-hmm. Twitter itself would be the best way to find us because a location that we come, we tweet where we're at, and if you just follow certain trucks or whatever trucks you like, every day you'll find out where they are. Sometimes we post our whole weekly schedule on there, so I would say Twitter or Facebook. Social media is huge with the food trucks, so.
Well, what's an average day for you like? I mean, you're here now. You're not working at lunchtime. You're all kind enough donating your time. No, I know how hard it was to get food truck operators in during the lunch hour, and I am grateful that you're all here. Give me an average day for you, Rob, an average weekday. Is there an average weekday?
It's not this week is exceptionally not average, but you wake up early and go to bed late. I mean, this week alone, yeah. I'm moving kitchens and getting ready for the state fair. So I'll be at the state fair for the rest of the week. Come see me, Rob's Kebabs.
When you're in Rochester, an average day, you know, do you know where you're going to be most Mondays or most Wednesdays or most Thursdays?
Well, I have a general idea.
Yeah.
I like to go to Elm Street downtown, which is one of the prime lunch spots, Wednesdays and Thursdays. That's the days I try to get there. But there's a lot of trucks now. So each spot can only hold X amount of people. The more trucks there are, the harder it is to get that spot at that certain location. So I've been going down like as early as 8 o'clock in the morning to make sure I get my spot before 5 trucks get there and you miss out on your whole day pretty much. So pretty much I would just wake up, you know, get my truck down there, prep, do what I got to do. Bang out lunch service and then go home and clean pretty much. Get ready for the next day.
And cleaning until what time? What time do you think you're done with work for the day?
Me personally, as the owner, I'm probably done at like 6 or 7, I would say.
At night, yeah.
On a normal day. Just because, you know, you got to do paperwork. You got to make sure you're stocked and prepped and you got everything bought for the next day kind of thing. So, yeah, I would say like 7 or 8.
That's why, I mean, you're a chef and a finance guy, and and a janitor, and you're everything.
You're everything.
You're everything with a food truck. What about you, Fidelia? Give me like an average day of when are you rolling out in the morning, and when are you coming in and done with work for the day?
So it depends. If we only in the restaurant, so get up like 6 in the morning. We could do a lot of prep every day. My day is going to be in maybe like 10, like between maybe Tuesday. Like weekends, I grab like 11. But if you got festival, sometimes like we get there like 2 in the morning. Like the festival. Like this is the hard one because we do like 10 days straight. So we need to be there like 2 in the morning because we do a lot of prep. We got to be there like 8 in the morning because like 8:30 you can go in. So it depends. Like I don't have any schedule. Like I don't have any regular days.
Right. And Joe, I think listeners might think it sounds like you can just roll up anywhere you want in the city of Rochester and set up a truck. What are the rules there?
Far from it. We have a small book that we all have to abide by. It's called Regulation 60. It's actually one of the first ones out there that the fire department and police department put together, which is very I like it. When I first got started with the truck, we didn't have that, and that's what we kind of lobbied for to get some rules, and now we do. So depending on where your location is, if you're Center City, Rochester, there's only a certain amount of approved spots, maybe 5 or 6. A couple of those are fairly coveted because they're a little more profitable with ease, we'll say. But the other ones, I think that we can build. It just needs a presence. So the more trucks that show up, the more people are going to come out.
When are you rolling out in the morning?
I have two little ones. So depending on what the situation is, I'm usually up and gone to get my product. I'm usually at my location by like 7:15 to get the stuff I need for the day. Go back to the shop, get the trucks loaded up. Each one will leave by maybe 9:30. They come back from lunch about 2:15, clean them out, restock them, send them back out for the next shift. Because we run about 15 services a week, depending on, you know, what's going on, depending on what day it is. So, like yesterday and the day before, we had, you know, 2 lunches a day, then an evening shift at, like, the rodeo, and then a Rush Henrietta rodeo. So, after dishes, you know, I leave about 11 at night on those types of days. So, it's about 17, 18 hours. I don't know, whatever that good, comes out to be.
Good gracious.
So, but, you know, for the next couple of days, you know, we're... it's a little more lax because we got a state fair competition Sunday. We got to leave at 6 a.m. Don't get back until about maybe 11 or 12 at night. So it's all in your scheduling. So my guys know exactly kind of what days we're going to be busy, what days we're not. I try not to clump them all together at once because you'll get drained real quick.
Ooh. Well, Denise, you've been doing it for 4 months. How many hours a week are you working?
Well, you know, mine aren't as intense as these guys. Yeah. But it is. You get up early, you prep, you make sure everything is good to go. And then, you know, I like to show up around between 9:30 to one of the prime locations if I don't have, like, a business that has invited me there. And then we serve the lunch. You know, you take the truck home, you clean it. If you're going out again, we do have, you know, various nighttime events that we do. We make sure that's stocked and prepped, take that out. So if we're doing the nighttime thing, too, about 11 o'clock at night, I'll be out there doing the dishes. There's books to be done. So... it varies. I mean, you start early and you end late, depending. So it's a lot of fun, though.
I think you all just chased off all of your potential competition of people who are on the fence about starting a food truck.
You know, as I like to say, anything good is worth the work. And if you want something to be successful, you got to put the work into it. It isn't, I'm my own boss now, so I get to sit back and relax. Maybe one day that'll happen, but... not today.
Well, we need to get our only break of the hour, and we're going to come back and we will have our guests from the food truck scene in Rochester address some questions from listeners about how sustainable it is as a business and, you know, how they're doing. And they can get as detailed as they like. It's all up to them, of course. And the ubiquitous folks from Le Petit Poutine are listening, and they sent a tweet just mentioning to Randy that they've got several customers that bring their own forks in reusable containers, and they can always accommodate that. So That's an idea. And listeners, if we are increasingly in a world where we're bringing our own containers for coffee, so not throwing out coffee containers when we remember to do that. And maybe in the food truck world that we live in now, just be ready for that. So there you go, Randy. And thank you to Ronnie and the team from Le Petit Poutine, because no one ever mentions their name. they need the pub. No, we love you guys. Hey, let's get that only break of the hour here on the Summer of Food. I'm Evan Dawson. Friday on The Next Connections. What can be done to help Rochester schools amidst the turmoil, amidst the debate about a state takeover of the school board? Well, one of the reigning New York State Teachers of the Year has some thoughts about that. He's been working quietly with multiple parties in multiple school settings, and he reveals what he thinks will help schools in Rochester. Friday on Connections. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson talking about Rochester's growing food truck scene. 5 dozen food trucks or so on the streets of Rochester and the surrounding areas. And some listeners just want to know how they can get you. So before we get into some other questions about numbers and making a living, I want to ask our guests how people in various places can find you. Well, there's somebody's calling you. Joe, if they want Rock City Sandwich, how do they get you?
RockCitySandwich.com. You could always call me at 585-802-0147. Hopefully that doesn't go out too far.
So businesses can call you? I mean, like, do you do office? Do you kind of set up outside offices?
Yeah, we virtually have a dedicated truck just for that. One of the questions you talked about earlier was competition with brick and mortar. These are the things where I think that we work together or can kind of supplement each other. A lot of the businesses that we go to don't have the time. You know, the employees don't have the time to run out, get whatever they need, and come back. So we actually go to them. So if any businesses that have, you know, 100 or more employees want us to swing by, or any truck to swing by, you could always give any of the trucks a call. I'm sure they'd be happy to stop by.
Okay. Rob, how do they get you? And how often are you sort of tailoring directly to people who've called you and said, hey, we'd love you here?
You could reach me at 585-797-4971. That's the business number. Or RobsKebabsNY.com and AldenteMobile.com.
Is that how you're doing, you know, a bulk of your work? Most of the time, how are you deciding on where you go?
Well, I try to, it's hard. You got to kind of pick and choose being a food truck. You got to kind of, not all events are good events, because everyone wants a food truck, but everyone wants all the food trucks.
Right, right.
And let's say they don't have all the people. They have like 200 people for 5 trucks. You know, you got to kind of, being a business owner, you got to kind of pick and choose and make sure that you're not shooting yourself in the foot. But yeah, I try to, you know, I love going to businesses and I love seeing new things, meet new people. So I definitely focus on that a lot. I do love street vending on the, like, downtown and stuff too. So
I just got a note from Lamar Blue, who was supposed to be here in our last seat from Sugary Delights and Snowy Event WNY, and he writes, my apologies, I've been detained with long lines for Snowy WNY's Shaved Ice at Strong Museum's Facebook Appreciation Event. So obviously, business is good for Lamar. No worries, Lamar. Thank you very much. Nano, for Nanos, how do people get you?
They can find us at ninosmexican.com. It's our website. It's like a little, like a thing, like you find, like you fill out the information, like the address, how many people, mm-hmm. like dates, and or call us like 585-434-0026.
Okay, and Denise, how often are people reaching out to you in this way? How are you kind of dividing up your time?
Yeah, they're giving me a call. They're emailing me. I have a website. It's karmascruisingcafe.com. Also, I have the instant message on the Karma's Cruisin' with a Z on Facebook, which, you know, that's always lighting up, asking me to come to an event. Or they can call me, 585-993-4754. And so, yeah, we do try to pick and choose. It's hard because, you know, being so new, I don't know what's profitable and what I'm shooting myself in the foot for. I have found a few of those. But next season will be a whole different ballgame for me, as I've got to, you know, a little bit under my belt to know what to do and what not to do. And with some great advice from those guys in the studio, every time I ask a question, they're more than helpful. So I do appreciate that.
No, it's an awesome scene. But boy, listen to all of your stories. It is, you know, there's so much that might make someone decide not to do it? Number one, what Denise just said, maybe you sign up for something, whether it's a festival or a business, it just doesn't go very well. That happens sometimes. Sometimes you're working much later than you'd like, just cleaning the truck, getting ready for the next day. So there's some uncertainty about where you go, when you're going to be done for the day. And then there's question of just getting the thing on the street, you know, the upfront cost and then profit. So I just have so much respect for the work. But let me get a blunt question from Alex, who writes, how much profit can an operator expect to make with an established truck, and how are they paying their employees? The person who's been on the road the longest is Joe Cario from Rock City Sandwich. You can be as specific or not as you like, but I think Alex is just wondering, I mean, is this is a full-time, sustainable, long-term job, or it's a bridge to something else? I mean, what do you think?
Well, I like what I do. I like the mobile scene. I'm not – at first I was thinking maybe of going to a brick and mortar, but I like where we're at now. When it comes to profitability, if you have – a product that you believe in and want to fight for and get out there, but you're also willing to alter to other people's likings, then I think you could be successful at it. You have to have the drive to make it happen. Because of our location, you know, we only have so many warm months. You know, we happen to go all year round, thank goodness, because I have bills that come all year round. When it comes to fees or when it comes to profitability, I'll just throw a couple things out there that you can think about. We pay everywhere we go. So whether we're at the city or at a festival, we're paying.
Paying to get in, paying for
whatever it comes out to. There's several that we do, and it's like $100 an hour just to park the truck. That's before the employees, the food, everything else as, you know, that we have to pay for to run the business.
So margins are a little thin.
So, yeah. I can't tell. Everything is different. I mean, some events, our margins are going to be higher. Some events are going to be lower. It all averages out. So, you know, yes, I can pay the bills. I pay people per hour with what I do. I don't pay them salary, but they get hourly wages plus tips. So that helps them. I put out there every season, you know, this is what I'm looking for. You know, we have different hours. Our services may only be 3 hours, but, you know, we have to pay for 4 or 5 because they're set up, clean up, prep, all that other stuff. But it's tough to gauge. I mean, our guys are paid pretty good. They're definitely not minimum wage because it's hard work.
Are you looking back thinking, for me, for my family, this was a good decision? I love it, but it's paying enough of the bills. We're doing okay.
Compared to what I was doing before, last time I was here, I was in finance before. I like what I do now.
Okay. Rob, what would you say to Alex and his questions about how you're doing in terms of making a living?
I'd say I'm doing a lot better than I was before I started this, that's for sure. I was a short order cook at a couple restaurants, and let's say I would just work dinner service, which I would have to get there at 3, and I would get out at like 11 p.m. and I had no life whatsoever, and I was hating it. So I just decided to take the leap and do my own thing, and I was pulling in like $500 a week maybe. Nowadays, it's just I maybe make that in like a lunch. I would say a lunch downtown, you pull in between probably like $500 to $1,500 for a couple hours.
Now, that's before you got to figure out the cost to pay people.
Yeah, then you got to pay people, you got product, all that stuff. But compared to what I was doing before, it's a lot. It's a big step for me. I'm happy with what I'm doing. Always trying to grow, too, also. So.
Okay. Fidelia.
It depends what you want to do, right? Because in my opinion, when it started Nenos, I started with the little trailer, and it was only for fun and for part-time, because I used to have my full-time job, 40 hours. Then, the other thing, it was I only do like 3 items in my menu, like from trot and trailer right now. We don't do morgue. Always the same, and people like it, and we always do a lot of numbers. And so it was easy for me because I was doing only tacos, burritos, and tostadas. So it wasn't hard.
And right now it's a little bit hard because it's the brick and mortar. It's, we do a little bit more prep. We got more different food.
Sure.
But like I say, it depends what Alex, what he wanna do. He can do something like small and keep his full-time job and then see what's going on. If business work, he can go big.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay. Denise, is this full-time living for you?
This is a full-time living for me. And like Joe said, I absolutely love what I do. I love being around people. I love to network and I love to be in the city and doing street vending. I have a passion to sell what I stand behind. And so I think that helps a lot. Because when I talk about what I do, I think it comes through in the way that I present that. I get to work with my brother. We don't have any employees except for my two teenagers, but, you know, they have to work for free for me because they're just my helpers. They don't really, you know, do the hard work. They're just there to help out and learn. And eventually when we do expand to where we do go ahead and hire employees, they'll be probably my two first paid employees that I have. It is profitable. I'm making a living. You know, as well as hoping to work throughout the winter, as I have bills to pay as well. So I'm trying to figure out how to go ahead and do that for the winter months. But yeah, I make a living, and I like to tell people now I don't work for the man, so to speak. So that's very enjoyable.
You are the man.
That's what I tell people. I'm the man now. So that's what I feel really proud about.
So Denise, yeah. Let me ask you and all of our guests from the food truck scene something that I like to ask food truck owners, because they know that the city of Rochester, the county of Monroe, all the elected leaders, they're all listening. What would make your life easier if you could change some of the rules or how things are operating? Or Denise, what would make your life easier?
I think the first thing that comes to mind is having electrical outlets that the food vendors have access to, maybe like a lockbox or a code. That would make my life a lot better as a food vendor, electricity at those spots.
Okay.
So,
Joe.
I suppose.
I'm thinking real hard.
Maybe it's a good sign that you didn't think of something right away.
You know, everyone's doing the best they can. It's a new program that they came out with. I think that the rules that they set up are pretty fair. Nothing jumps out that they could do any more of. The city, I think, has done a lot to accommodate. They've created spots. The inspectors that we work with, you know, from the fire department, the police department are great. So, yeah, I think it's a good relationship.
Okay, Rob?
I would say, I guess, just open up more spots, like, for us to go and vend, I guess. Because there's only a certain amount of spots that we can actually go to. And I just feel like the city's so big that they can probably fit a couple here, a couple there. Just open more spots for us to go. It just encourages more growth and more food trucks, I guess.
Okay. What do you think, Fidelio?
I think the same. Like Rob says, more spots, because some spots they got only like four food trucks. Some they got just one. Some they got only two. And
more geographic space.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Because like sometimes we get ready for lunch and the spot is already like full. Oh, so we lose our spot. Now we got to go back and the day is gone.
Well, there's roughly 60 food trucks in Rochester. In our last 90 seconds, because these four gave up their lunch hour to be here, I want them to tell you, you got to order one thing. What's it going to be at Rock City Sandwich? When someone shows up, what should they order at Rock City Sandwich?
You have to go with the Pittsburgh style. Meat, cheese, fries, sweet coleslaw. We give you three different choices of mayo, and you get a little taste of fries on the side. Can't go wrong.
Pittsburgh style. How much?
We do $8 on the street and $9 at paid festivals.
All right, there you go. Rob's. We're going to go to kebabs or al dente. What are people going to get? Got to pick one.
I would say kebabs. I'll do the jibaro plate, which would be like a Spanish garbage plate. You know, garbage plates are big in Rochester, so it's pretty much all the favorites of Puerto Rican food all piled on top of each other.
How much?
$10.
$10.
Can't go wrong.
There you go. If we're going to go to Nano's, one thing.
Tacos, absolutely.
What kind?
So we got, in the brick and mortar, we got like five different kinds. We got Baja fish, we got al pastor, like this.
You got to pick one.
Okay. Let's say tres tacos, one each.
And how much?
In the truck, $9, in the store, $10.
All right. And Denise, if we're going to Karma's Cruising Cafe, one thing to get.
You are going to get the Karma's Rubbish Platter, and you can either choose cheeseburger or hot dog or one of each. And those are quarter pound Zweigel tots, red or white, or a third pound cheeseburger ham pressed that day. It comes with homemade mac salad. It comes with home fries and our homemade meat hot sauce and onions. That's for $12.
All right. Denise Clifford, co-owner of Karma's Cruisin' Cafe, new to the scene. Thanks for taking the time. I know you're on the road. Thanks for making it work for us today.
Thank you so much for having us.
You'll find Karma's Cruisin' Cafe on the streets in various places. Rob Longcoa from Rob's Kebabs and Rob's Al Dente. Thank you, Rob. Awesome having you here.
Hey, thank you.
Fidelio from Nano's Gourmet Mexican Street Food. El Mejor. Thank you.
Thank you.
And our thanks to Joe Cario, owner of Rock City Sandwich, president of Rochester's Best Food Trucks. Thank you, Joe. Great having you again.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Our thanks to Rob Braden, the engineer. Megan Mack is the producer. Who else? We got a... Oh! Josephine. We got Josephine. And I'm Evan. Talk to you tomorrow.